As the world grapples with the challenges of climate change and energy security, a critical aspect of India's energy landscape has come into sharp focus: the need for alternative heating technologies in the face of global gas supply risks. By 14 March 2026, escalating tensions around Iran, driven by the US-Israel conflict, have renewed fears of disruption to gas flows through the Strait of Hormuz, prompting Indian policymakers and industry bodies to revisit the strategic case for alternative industrial heating technologies. This is particularly significant for India, which imports nearly half of its natural gas through Gulf Sea lanes. India's energy conversations often center on electricity, solar power, and petroleum imports. However, what is systematically overlooked is the third pillar of industrial energy: heat. Boilers, furnaces, kilns, steam systems, and process heating equipment are the backbone of sectors such as textiles, chemicals, ceramics, food processing, pharmaceuticals, glass, and metals. In 2020-23, industry accounted for roughly 37% of India's total final energy consumption, and a significant share of that was thermal energy, not electricity. When natural gas supply becomes uncertain, industrial heat security becomes an economic issue with immediate production consequences. India imported approximately 26.6 billion cubic meters of LNG in FY 2024-25, most of it transiting through the Gulf. Any sustained disruption at the Strait of Hormuz would hit Indian industry, especially fertilizer plants, petrochemical units, and glass and ceramic factories, before consumers feel the effect. This is the strategic context in which the case for alternative heating technologies has moved from niche discussion to policy urgency. A common misunderstanding is that electrifying industry solves all energy problems. For heating, this is only partially true because industrial heat demands span a wide temperature ladder. Low-temperature applications in food processing and dairy require heat below 100 degrees Celsius. Textile scouring and bleaching, pharmaceutical sterilization, and brewery operations need 100 to 180 degrees Celsius. Chemical reactors, paper mills, and rubber processing operate in the 200 to 400 degrees Celsius range. Cement kilns, steel furnaces, and glass melting demand temperatures well above 1000 degrees Celsius, with some processes exceeding 1600 degrees Celsius. No single technology covers this entire range. The transition away from gas-fired heat must be sector-specific and phased. This is precisely why the conversation about alternative heating technologies requires technical granularity rather than broad declarations about renewable energy. Three technologies that can replace gas heat are concentrated solar thermal, electromagnetic induction heating, and plasma torches for ultra-high temperatures. Concentrated solar thermal, or CST, is among the most promising low and medium temperature options. Unlike solar photovoltaic panels, which generate electricity, CST captures sunlight directly as usable heat. Mirrors or reflective surfaces, called heliostats or parabolic troughs, concentrate solar radiation onto a receiver, which transfers the energy to a working fluid such as thermal oil or water. The critical feature that makes CST viable for industry is thermal energy storage, or TES. Heat is stored in media such as molten salt, thermal oil, or phase change materials, allowing the system to deliver process heat even after sunset or during cloud cover. This makes CST dispatchable, a property that solar PV alone cannot offer for heat applications. CST can currently deliver temperatures up to approximately 400 degrees Celsius, making it suited for textile processing, dairy, food and beverage manufacturing, and industrial laundries. According to the Ministry of New and Renewable Energy, India has an estimated CST potential of 6.4 gigawatts, a figure that reflects the country's high solar irradiance, particularly in Rajasthan, Gujarat, and parts of Maharashtra and Telangana. This potential remains almost entirely untapped. The most internationally cited proof of concept is Oman's Mirah Solar Thermal Project, operated by Glasspoint Solar, which integrates CST with oilfield steam operations and reduces gas consumption by nearly 80% during daytime operation, one of the largest industrial solar heat deployments in the world. Electromagnetic induction heating is particularly relevant for industries that work with conductive metals. An alternating current passes through a copper coil, generating a rapidly changing magnetic field. When a conductive material, steel, aluminium, copper, is placed within this field, eddy currents are induced inside the material itself. These currents encounter the material's electrical resistance, generating heat through Joule heating, named after physicist James Prescott Joule, 1841. The critical distinction from conventional flame heating is that the heat is generated inside the material, not applied to its surface from outside. This has major practical consequences. Thermal efficiency can exceed 90%, compared to 40 to 60% for gas-fired furnaces. Heating is also rapid and highly controllable, reducing cycle times and improving product consistency. Industries with the strongest case for induction adoption include automotive component manufacturing, metal forging, precision machining, and heat treatment. Since induction heating requires only electricity, not gas, its emissions profile depends entirely on the power source. If powered by renewables, it produces zero direct on-site emissions, making it a powerful decarbonization tool alongside a gas independence strategy. Plasma torches for ultra-high temperatures are used in some industrial processes, particularly smelting, high-grade ceramics, advanced materials synthesis, and parts of cement and steelmaking, which require temperatures that no conventional electric heater can deliver efficiently. This is the domain of plasma torches. A high-voltage electric arc is struck between electrodes inside a chamber. A working gas, typically argon, nitrogen, or air, is forced through this arc, ionizing it into a plasma, often described as the fourth state of matter. Plasma jets from industrial torches can deliver temperatures between 5000 degrees Celsius and over 10,000 degrees Celsius, far exceeding the limits of gas combustion. Plasma torches allow much tighter control over the chemical atmosphere in the heating zone, a feature critical for advanced ceramics and specialty alloys where oxidation or contamination must be prevented. Countries including Japan, South Korea, and Germany have been advancing plasma-based furnaces for specialized metallurgy. For India, plasma technology is particularly relevant to the steel sector, which is both a major emitter and a large gas consumer, and to the growing advanced materials and defense manufacturing ecosystem. Now, let us turn to what India needs to do in terms of policy and gaps. Despite its scale, industrial heat decarbonization has no dedicated policy framework in India. The country has a national solar mission, a national hydrogen mission, and a green hydrogen policy, but no equivalent strategy for the roughly 37% of industrial energy consumed as heat. This is a gap that has persisted through multiple national energy plans. The National Mission for Enhanced Energy Efficiency, launched in 2008 under the National Action Plan on Climate Change, covers energy efficiency in industry but does not specifically target heat source transition. Similarly, the Bureau of Energy Efficiency has conducted energy audits of industrial units but without a programmatic push toward heat technology alternatives. The transition is not blocked by science alone. High upfront capital costs deter industries, particularly MSMEs, from switching even when the long-term economics favor it. The vendor ecosystem for CST components, induction systems, and thermal storage is extremely thin in India, meaning most equipment must be imported at significant cost. Awareness in traditional industry segments, ceramics, textiles, glass, remains low, and financing instruments specifically designed for industrial heat retrofits do not yet exist at scale. A structural problem also lies in how energy is planned. Electricity and heat are treated as separate categories by different ministries and regulators. Industrial heat decarbonization requires integrated planning that currently does not happen. Now, let us look at the strategic opportunity. India's context differs from Europe's in one important respect. India does not use natural gas for residential space heating at the same scale as northern European countries. Its gas demand is concentrated in fertilizers, petrochemicals, and industrial processing. This concentration is precisely what makes targeted alternatives viable. The demand is industrial, clustered in specific sectors, and addressable through sector-specific technology deployment. The strategic opportunity is to build domestic manufacturing capacity in CST components, induction power electronics, thermal storage equipment, and plasma systems, turning the heat transition into an industrial development story, not merely an energy security story. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The Strait of Hormuz is a key choke point that handles approximately 20% of globally traded oil and significant LNG volumes. India's LNG imports were approximately 26.6 billion cubic meters in FY 2024-25, largely routed through Gulf Sea lanes. Industry accounts for approximately 37% of India's total final energy consumption. Concentrated solar thermal, or CST, captures sunlight directly as usable heat, with a mechanism that involves mirrors or reflective surfaces concentrating solar radiation onto a receiver. The temperature range for CST is up to approximately 400 degrees Celsius, making it suited for textiles, food and beverage, dairy, pharmaceuticals, and industrial laundry. India's CST potential is estimated at 6.4 gigawatts by the Ministry of New and Renewable Energy. The Miraz Solar Thermal Project in Oman is a key global project that reduces gas use by nearly 80% during daytime operation. Electromagnetic induction heating involves an alternating current generating a rapidly changing magnetic field, which induces eddy currents inside a conductive material, resulting in joule heating. The thermal efficiency of induction heating can exceed 90%, and it is best suited for automotive components, metal forging, heat treatment, and precision manufacturing. Plasma torches can deliver temperatures between 5,000 degrees Celsius and over 10,000 degrees Celsius, making them suitable for smelting, advanced ceramics, specialty alloys, steel, and defense materials. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? This topic connects to energy security under GS3, Industrial Decarbonization Policy, the role of the Ministry of New and Renewable Energy, India's renewable energy targets, and the geopolitical vulnerability of import-dependent energy supply chains. For mains, it also connects to questions about why India's industrial sector is the most difficult to decarbonize and what policy instruments are needed beyond solar power and EVs. Remember this number, 6.4 gigawatts, which is India's estimated CST potential. Note this carefully, the transition to alternative heating technologies requires a sector-specific and phased approach. This is a favorite prelims fact. The Miraz Solar Thermal Project in Oman reduces gas use by nearly 80% during daytime operation. In conclusion, as India navigates the complex landscape of energy security and climate change, the development and deployment of alternative heating technologies will play a critical role. By understanding the strategic context, the available technologies, and the policy gaps, India can seize the opportunity to build a more resilient and sustainable industrial sector, reducing its dependence on imported gas and mitigating the risks associated with global supply disruptions. This is not just an energy security story but an industrial development story, with significant implications for India's economic growth, environmental sustainability, and geopolitical position.